Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be back again here. Maybe some of you know me and some of you don't know me. I'm Radhika Kripa Devidasi. I'm traveling from Delhi. I'm a traveling preacher. I go all over the world to preach. It's been 22 years I've been in ISKCON. With the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj, I'm here. And I'm an author of a few books as well. It's one on poetry I wrote, that's devotional poems. And the other one is the Vaishnava teachings in Sikhism. I'm from a Sikh background. I'm a Punjabi. And when I used to listen to the Bhagavad Gita, when I entered ISKCON, I used to listen to the Bhagavad Gita. Then, since childhood, I had read the Granth Sahib as well. And my background is, I was born in a business family, an affluent family, and I used to travel a lot earlier as well, in my childhood. And I had a lot of exposure, and being in a Sikh family, a religious family, my mother taught me to read the Granth Sahib in my childhood. And when I came to ISKCON, there's a long story about it. You can read it in the Back to Godhead 2008 issue with Narsingh Dev on the cover. It was published then. And then when I entered ISKCON, it was like I could relate myself to what I was listening. When I could hear the Bhagavad Gita, it was like I could relate it to the Granth Sahib as well. And I could quote a few quotes from there. So one day I was in Vrindavan, and now Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, he was there as the president at that time, as Prabhu. He was there in the office and my Guru Maharaj was there. And suddenly my Guru Maharaj was always telling me, you should put these quotes in a book. And I never thought myself to be that perfect to put that, to go ahead with that. But then my Guru Maharaj sitting in the office, he told Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, then Prabhu again, he told him that she has written a book, you know, and I had not written a word as. But then I took it as my responsibility when I had to nod my head and acknowledge, yes, I have written, though I had not. But then I took it as a responsibility, and when I was back in Delhi, it was the month of June when this happened, and I was back in Delhi in July, I took it up to my responsibility that I should go ahead with writing this. Because Maharaj said it would help in preaching a lot. And I went ahead and wrote it, sat for a month nearly, every day, 8 to 9 hours to 10 hours, with all the scriptures around me. And I came out with the book. I wrote it, 100-page book, and it went for publishing just in time for his Vyasa Puja. And I gifted it to my Guru Maharaj in August on his Vyasa Puja. And that's the book I travel with all over the world. And this book is in now, soon after it came out, so nearly 4 or 5 years later, it was published in Sindhi and Urdu in Pakistan. The devotees took it there, and it is circulated there in Sindhi and Urdu. It's in 5 languages now. It's English, Hindi, Punjabi, and then Sindhi and Urdu in Pakistan. And I was recently in Pakistan, just a year back. I was there for 25 days in Karachi. I traveled to the interiors of Pakistan. And I met so many Sindhi Hindus, and I was invited there. And I gave nearly 45 lectures. It's not self-glorification, but it's really that I want to inspire you all. I travel because I want to inspire people. That devotees should travel and preach, and they should preach to anybody whom they can. So with a lot of intelligence and diligence, you can preach anybody who is just inclined towards Krishna or God. Because Krishna himself is God. So it was that boosted my morale, and I had to travel. Even Jayapataka Maharaj was here. I met him long time back in London when he was in a Rath Yatra here, nearly in 2009 or 10. So, and then he was very happy. He took the book all over the world. He was the first one to take it. There's again a big story that I was just coming to the temple in the morning, and I was telling my driver that Jayapataka Maharaj, I have a very beautiful pastime with him. I said, Because I think so. I'm the only female driver who must have driven him in the car in Delhi. Because he wanted to listen to my book. And he asked me, can you read it to me? And I nearly read the whole book to him. And it was again a great mercy of him. And the sadhu sangh, the sadhu mercy is most important in our life. We can read the scriptures ourselves, but we cannot go into the depth of the scriptures without their mercy. So when I quote something, I'm coming from Abu Dhabi. I was in Abu Dhabi for a week, 8 days. And I had lots and lots of lectures. And in Abu Dhabi, we have lots of people from south of India, people from Punjab. And I really had a very wonderful time there with the devotees, always eager to listen to the glories of the Lord. And the thing why I wrote, I think so, the Guru Maharaj, why he asked me to write this book, because he said there are many books like Vedas and Islam, because then we have a very broad vision. In ISKCON, we have a very, very broad vision. We are not very constrained. We can correlate to others and bring others into our fold. It's that. It's very simple. We meet people, we relate with them through our scriptures and their scripture, and they become devotees. Because the scriptures have only one foundation, the principles of Bhagavad Gita. The morality given in the Bhagavad Gita, the psychology given in the Bhagavad Gita is the only thing that is in the other scriptures as well. But the Bhagavad Gita has the full authenticity. It's spoken by Sri Krishna himself. That is why. The Gurbani, the Granth Sahib even says this. Last time I was here, just 2-3 months back, I was here in September. And I gave a lecture here in the morning, the Bhagavad Gita class. Then also I gave many stories. So these stories, these leelas, they make our faith strong, you know. The principles are there, the psychology, it's there. But then it's a bit dry. But when we go through the leelas, they are very interesting, and they give answers to many of our questions in themselves. Krishna killing Putana. It's again, the answer is there, that Krishna kills all the deceptiveness, all the deceit in our heart, dishonesty, hypocrisy, because he killed Putana. She was a hypocrite. She came in a different garb, and she bluffed the whole village, she can bluff the world, but she could not bluff Krishna. Likewise, a devotee cannot bluff Krishna. A person cannot bluff Krishna. Krishna knows everything. He is seated in our heart. So today we are celebrating the appearance day of Advaita Acharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as a devotee in the garb of a devotee. And he came here on this planet only for us. Krishna killed everybody, all the demons. Not everybody, but all the demons. He kept on killing the demons. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he did, he transformed the demons into devotees. That's we are. You see, when Ramchandraji came, demons were ocean apart. Ravana was, if you know the geography, Ravana was an ocean apart. The devotees were all, say, in Bharatvarsha, but he was in the Lanka. And there was a big ocean in the middle. Then came Krishna in the Dwapar Yuga. What happened then? The demons and the devotees, the distance shortened. Krishna is there in Gokula, and the demon Kansa is in Mathura, just a few miles away. And when the Kali Yuga came, the advent of Kali Yuga is what? What happened? The demons and the devotees, the demonic and the divine qualities, they both came in one heart. That's in us, the jivas. We have both the qualities. In Treta Yuga, we know everybody was a devotee, they say. The scriptures say this. All were devotees. They were the Ramji's followers. They were following him. You have a Ram Darbar here. You take darshan every day of Ramji. So it's there. the character of Lord Ramchandra is so powerful that you, when you listen about his glories, you fall in love with him. And that's it. Ramji gave everybody this mantra that it says in the Granth Sahib even, Ram Japai Sukhapave. Those who chant the name of Ramji, they are bound to get happiness. They will be, that's all the piety they will get. They'll get the sukha. They'll be away from distress. So it's there. In Treta Yuga, everybody was a Ramji's follower. But in Lanka, it was opposite. Ravana was not. He was a demon with demonic qualities. So he was again a hypocrite. He came in the garb of a sadhu to snatch away Sita Devi. So there, then there came the Dwapara Yuga. The Kansa. Kansa is in Mathura. But he's a demon. He wants to kill all the children born there because he knows his sister is going to give birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then, Krishna is all powerful. As a baby also, he exhibited all those qualities what the Supreme Lord has. And then Kansa was killed by Krishna. So like came the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is an age of quarrel, we all know. Kalera Dosha Nidana Rajan Eko Mahan Gunasti. Kali Yuga has all the doshas. All the negative qualities which we can look for, you can find them in Kali Yuga. If you read the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12th canto, it will look as if it was written just last week. Because you will find all those demonic qualities mentioned there which you see around. The qualities of our political leaders all over the world. And this time we can see they are really on exhibition, all those qualities. Whichever political state, country you pick up, you just have to just see the qualities of the leaders there. And you will know, yes, the Bhagavatam says this, it will happen. And it's just, a long period is left still for the Kali Yuga to end. 4,32,000 years are yet to come. It's just the beginning. And it's so worse. And we are very fortunate that we took birth in the, you all know which Manu we have taken birth. Where was the Manu? And it's the Manu, because Krishna and Lord Gauranga, they never appear in other Manus. They appeared in this Manu itself. Just a few thousand years back, Krishna was there. Just 500 years back, Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. So we are very, very fortunate to have taken birth in this Manu. And because of this fortune, great fortune, and Srila Prabhupada came here to give us the glories. He gave us Gauranga. The Krishna Prema was given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was given to, it's never given directly to us. Because we have, as I said, in Kali Yuga, we have the demonic and the divine qualities both in us. And it depends upon us which quality we want to exhibit, manifest. Because handful of people only enter the satsanga. This is satsang. You're taking the association of the devotees, taking the association of the absolute truth is called the satsanga. And only handful enter, only handful are allowed to enter because of our pious deeds that we have collected over the past births, you know. That is why we are sitting here and listening the glories. It's not easy for everybody to enter. Granth Sahib Gurbani says this. It says, Bin paga satsang na labije, bin satsang maila barije jiyo. Without your fortune, you cannot get the satsanga. Bin paga, if it's not in your karmas, you will never get to the satsanga. And without satsanga, mail barije jiyo, all the anarthas will come to your heart. They will reside in your heart. Because anarthas means they are going to make you do sins. You will be doing sinful acts. if the anarthas are there in you, we all know kaam, krodh, irsha, dvesh, when we say lust, anger, greed, hatred, these all are anarthas. Rup Goswami said, ado shraddha tado sadhu sang tado bhajan kriya tatha anartha nivritti. Rup Goswami, he says this. He says, ado shraddha, when you have a faith in Krishna, when you have faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what he does is, ado shraddha tado sadhu sang, then he gives you the sangha of the sadhus, the sangha of the devotees, the association of the devotees. That is very important in our life. That's, I said, we all may have Chaitanya Charitamrit with us. Now that we have smartphones, it's there in the phone itself. It's so simple, you say, we can read it. It's no harm, like we can read it on ourselves. But where will you get the intelligence to understand it? To understand the depth of it. It's not just a literary book. It's a book full of devotion. It's the devotion of the devotees that is given here. It's the prime book. Bhagavad Gita is like studying your school. Then the Bhagavatam is like going to college, graduating. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a postgraduate. It's complete, it's full of all these three. So without the association of the devotees, the anarthas won't go away. Rup Goswami says this. Ado shraddha tado sadhu sang. If you have faith in Krishna, a little bit faith even if you show, Krishna pulls you to this association of devotees. And what does the association of devotees do with you? Bhajana kriya. What you have heard from your ears, now you are going to sing. You are going to sing the glories of Supreme Power. You know, the ears, if you put them together, what shape does they acquire? If you put the two ears together, it makes a heart. And ear, E-A-R, this is in the heart as well, H-E-A-R-T. So Krishna enters through your ears. He enters through your ears. That's why Rup Goswami also says this. When you come to the association of devotees, then what you listen, you start doing the bhajana kriya. You start chanting yourself. And when you start chanting, now what does this chanting is going to do? What you are speaking through your mouth, again you are going to hear from your own ears. And this has to go to your heart. Because before starting the class, I want to do this. Let's do the Mangalacharan and then we come back to it. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshnamilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurvai Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapat Kamlam Shri Gurana Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sakritam Sahagan Raganatvitam tamsajivam sadvaitam sarabhutam parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagan Lalita Shri Vishakha Netavascha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sata Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha kalpataru bhakcha kripa sindhu bhai evacha patitanam pavne bhyo vaishna bhyo namo nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So as I said, that Krishna goes through your ears. That's what Rup Goswami says. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj said. He gave the Navda Bhakti. It starts with Shravanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. First is Shravanam. We have to listen. Actually, in the material world, we've got a habit of speaking. You may notice it. Whenever you're talking sometime, you don't let the other person... Like, when we are listening to somebody, we just cut in between and we want to speak ourselves. It happens. I've seen it myself. You'll experience it when you'll next talk to somebody. You are very impatient when you're listening. That's the problem with us. We are very, very impatient. But when we listen nicely, we will speak nicely. And then we will chant nicely. And then we will, again, what we are chanting, we'll again listen our talk nicely. And then this will go to the depth of our hearts. Like it's an example, when we cook the food in the kitchen, what happens is we eat it through our mouth. This goes into our body and this makes our whole body healthy. That's right. We don't have to feed our ears separately or our tongue or our hands separately to nourish them. No. We just have to eat through the mouth and everything gets healthy. Likewise, when we chant the holy name, what happens is we speak. It is the food that is cooked on our jiva. We eat it through our ears. One has to listen his chanting. That is a must. If he does not listen, he or she does not listen to the chanting, what he is doing, then our heart will never get purified. When we listen to our own chanting, this gets digested in our hearts. And then our hearts get clean. Cheta udarpanam marjanam. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. So, as I said, that we come back to today's verses. It's a beautiful topic. The chapter is very beautiful. The cleaning of the Gundija temple. But the Madhya Leela, it's chapter 3 and 64 to 75. And today being a very auspicious day, I'm very fortunate to be giving a class on this. Advaita Acharya, it is because on his behest, it's because he requested and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he appeared. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there in the middle of the Panchatattva we know. And on his right and left, there is the Advaita Chandra, Advaita Prabhu, and then there is, who is there? Nityananda. And there on the left, there is, he has Srinivas Pandit and Gadadhar Pandit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Mahaprabhu. He is the, we all know, the Radha Krishna combined together. That's the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to experience what the love Radharani had for him. And he came in the garb of a devotee because he wanted to distribute the Krishna prema, which Krishna himself never does. He wants to give, but he never does that. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu has to come to distribute this. It's because he's in the garb of a devotee, it's simple to relate to him. And he distributes it freely without taking any this thing into account that the other person is a demon or a devotee of the Lord. He distributes to the animals as well. He gives it to everybody. So on the right side, there is Advaita Prabhu. There are two Prabhus, we say. Have you ever noticed? Advaita Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. But on the left side, where is Srinivas Pandit and Gadadhar Pandit, they are Pandits. So, they are the Shaktis, they are the energies. But Advaita Acharya is the Prabhu, is the incarnation again of Mahavishnu and Sadashiv. The Shaivites and the disciples and the devotees of Vishnu, they never like each other. You must have experienced that sometime. They sometimes, we take it as Shiva is the Vaishnava, Yatha Shambhu, he's the Param Vaishnava. Shivji is Param Vaishnava. Without Shivji's mercy, we cannot get Krishna. That's there. There is a story of a devotee, Narsingh Mehta. He was born in Gujarat, a big devotee of Krishna. But how he became a devotee of Krishna? He was a Shiva Bhakta. He used to chant the mantra of Shiva. And Shiva got very pleased with him and appeared before him. And said, what do you want? What material boons you want, I'll give you. I'll grant you all. He said, I don't want anything material. I was not chanting. I just wanted to please you. I like you. I love you. You give me a boon yourself, which you feel the best for me. The boon which you have, the best with you, you give that to me, grant that to me. Shivji was very happy. He said that if there's a devotee who doesn't want to do a business with me, because usually, Jai Jai Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Bhagwan Ki Jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So Shivji was very pleased. He said, there is at least a devotee who doesn't want to do any business with me. Because many of us who come to take darshan, we have a lot of business with Krishna. We say, you give me this, this, this. We give him a list. Be my order supplier. But Shivji was happy when Narsingh Mehta said, no, I don't want anything. You just give me what is the best you have with you. The best boon for me. And see what Shiva gave. Lord Shiva gave him. The Krishna Bhakti. He said, remember Krishna always, chant his glories. And that's what Narsingh Mehta started doing. Whole day and night, he was just singing the glories of Krishna. And it says there in the Gujarati scriptures that he went back, the Garuda came to take him with Vishnu Dutas. And he went back to Godhead. Because he was singing the glories of Krishna all the time. Even the Granth Sahib, when I came across, the Granth Sahib even says the same. It says clearly, those who chant the name of Hari, they will go back to Godhead. Har har japantya kach kahe na jamkal, kaha nanak manthano isukhya anteh milai gopal. Those who chant the name of Hari, Yamaraj cannot touch them. It's there. We know the, again I said, leelas are very important. We know the leela of Ajamil. The pastime the Ajamil had. That's in the Granth Sahib as well as in the Bhagavatam. Kehe Narayan Ajamal Udriya. That's what the Granth Sahib says. Once he said Narayan and he was liberated. The last moment he said Narayan and he was liberated. He got the time enough again to the mistake he had committed. He rectified that Ajamal. He gave up the body while chanting then Krishna's glories. So har har japantya kach kahe na yamara jamkal kaho nanak mantan hoi sukhiya. If I ask anybody out here, what do you are seeking in this material world? What do you want? Those of us, we like in the normal world, those who have not entered ISKCON, what they say, what they want peace and happiness. That's right. And how you get the peace and happiness, we don't know. Say, he says, kaho, nanak, kaho, mantan hoi sukhiya. The mind and body, they will be peaceful if you chant the glories of Hari. Mantan hoi sukhiya, anta hing maglai gopal. So you get the bonus is that at the end of this human form, you will get gopal. You will go back to Godhead. So this is the power of the name of Hari. So, Advaita Acharya is the one who invited Krishna. When he saw the Kaliyuga was on the rise, he prayed hard. He had a shaligram. Every day he poured the Ganga Jal and the Tulsi, he decorated it with that. And he cried for the Lord to appear. He himself is, again I said, he is the incarnation of both Sadashiv and Mahavishnu himself. His prayers were heard. And he's nearly 50 to 60 years older to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his prayers were heard and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip. And here the second is Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu is all we know, incarnation of Lord Balaram. Srivas Pandit, he is Narada, incarnation of Narada, the Shakta Veshavtar, the energy of Krishna. And Gadadhar Pandit, the internal potency of Krishna, another energy, Radharani. He is that. So Advaita Prabhu, he appeared on this planet. And today is the day when he appeared. So we should be singing his glories, asking his blessings. Because of him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And today's chapter is the cleansing of Gundija temple. The cleansing of Gundija temple, we know, is cleansing of our own hearts, is talking about. I was just sitting outside doing japa in the reception room and I was very a devotee was cleaning, a young boy was cleaning the floor with a lot of intensity. He was really going to on all the nooks and corners to take out the dust, you know. First he had the broom, next he had the brush. I was sitting there and just watching how he's cleaning it. And that gave me a realization, yes, this is the way our hearts should be cleaned. We just superficially we are chanting and we think, oh, I'm a big chanter, you know. I'm doing 16 rounds early in the morning. I'm attending Mangalarti. I'm doing everything, you know. It's perfect. We are not going into the nooks and corners of our hearts. We have to go there. Because the dirt is residing really there. Krishna says in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, your hearts are full of, it's manmukh. Don't be a manmukh. Don't run after your mind. Because that brings dirt in your heart. And it's now and then we are running after our minds, you know. We are always running after our mind. Our mind says, let's go here, let's go, let's do that, let's eat this, let's wear this, let's do this. We follow our minds. So here, the Gundicha temple cleaning, it's the cleaning of our hearts. And today's chapter is that. And the incident where the shlokas are, it's again very interesting. Because the king of Orissa, Raja Pratapudra, he wanted to have darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never wanted to give him darshan. He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramanand Rai, he being a big devotee of Mahaprabhu, comes to Mahaprabhu and he says about this intention of Pratapudra, King Pratapudra. He says, please give him the darshan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives examples that a jar of milk, if just has a drop of liquor, it's poisoned, you know. It's not. And now, but being again Ramanand Rai, he is coaxing him to give darshan. So Maharaja Pratapudra is in great anxiety, you know. He wants to do service too. Until to this date, the descendants of Raja Pratapudra, we all know, when the Rath Yatra goes in the Jagannath Puri, they broom, they clean the whole way where the Jagannath is coming. They have the broom, he has the broom in his hand, he cleanses it. So Raja Pratapudra in great anxiety could not endure. And seeing the Lord, therefore, Sri Ramananda Rai by his diplomacy arranged a meeting with the Lord for the king. Sri Ramananda Rai frankly requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please show your lotus feet to the king at least once. Here is Ramananda Rai is coaxing. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, my dear Ramananda, you should make this request after duly considering whether it is befitting for a sannyasi to meet a king. If a mendicant meets a king, this world and the next world are both destroyed for the mendicant. Indeed, what is there to say of the next world? In this world, people will joke if a sannyasi meets a king. So king is totally a materialistic, and the sannyasi here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving, just being very harsh. But he is not harsh at heart. He has some other reason. What he is going to do, we'll listen now. Ramananda replied, my lord, you are the supreme independent personality. You have nothing to fear from anyone because you are not dependent on anyone. That's Gauranga. When Ramananda Rai addressed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the supreme personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu objected saying, I am not the supreme personality of Godhead, but an ordinary human being because he is in the garb of a devotee. Therefore, I must fear public opinion in three ways, with my body, mind and words. This is important for us. I'm coming soon to the verse, I know. Because this is the background, I just want everybody to relate to it. Because what we are going to speak now in this class. So as soon as the general public finds a little fault in the behavior of a sannyasi, they advertise it like a wildfire. So this is the prajalpa. The gossiping is done. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is objecting to it. He's giving it to us. A black spot of ink cannot be hidden on a white cloth. It is always very prominent. This is for the sannyasis and for the devotees as well. He's giving and setting an example for us. Ramananda replied, my dear Lord, you have delivered so many sinful people. This King Pratapudra, the king of Orissa, is actually a servitor of the Lord and your devotees. So now we'll come here that he's not giving darshan to the king, but then Ramananda Rai convinces him to give darshan to the king's son. And here today's verses are that, where the king's son will be there. The prince, the 58 verses, the prince just entering upon his youth was very beautiful. He was blackish in complexion and had large lotus eyes. The prince was dressed in yellow cloth and there were jeweled ornaments decorating his body. Therefore, anyone who saw him would remember Lord Krishna. Seeing the boy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately remembered Krishna. Meeting the boy in ecstatic love, the Lord began to speak. And now we are coming to these verses. 64 verse is soon to come. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I have become very much obligated just by seeing this boy. After saying this, the Lord again embraced. Is it the right he's given me? No? I have become very obligated just by seeing this boy. After saying this, the Lord again embraced the prince. As soon as the prince was touched by the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's symptoms of ecstatic love immediately manifested themselves in his body. These symptoms included perspiration, trembling, tears, being stunned, and jubilation. Now the verse 64. Krishna, Krishna kahe nache kare rodana, tanara bhagya dekhi, slaga kare bhakta gana. The boy began, I think so this is the, that's the semi last verse. Wrong book. I was wondering where is that verse gone. That's it. It's chapter. I was expecting this. But I said maybe there is wrong or this is wrong. I thought this to be the right. I had prepared something and then I said, okay, let's go with this. Because it was, he was at the Shantipur at Dvaitacharya's house. I had to describe that. Anyway, we are talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no harm in it. I thought this is the correct and maybe I was forwarded something wrong. Because I had read this, that there was the food was offered to him and he makes the three divisions of the food. That's right. Thank you, Prabhu. So anyway, singing of the glories of Krishna is always nice and beautiful. So hopefully this awakened many devotees. So come to the... It's now... 364 to 75. We take this. Dvi Prabhulana Acharya Gela Bhitra Gare Prasada Dekhya Prabhura Ananda Antare Advaita Acharya, the translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Advaita Acharya took Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within the room, and two lords saw the arrangement of the prasada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was especially very much pleased. And we know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to sannyas. He wanted to go, leave the place and go to Vrindavan. And now, he has somehow been convinced to come to Advaitacharya's house. And he is at the Advaitacharya Prabhu's house now. And he's being offered the prasadam. And his mother actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, never wanted him to go that far to Vrindavan. She wanted him to stay there. So he was convinced that he would stay in the Jagannath Puri, the Kshetra Dham. He will be there. And Advaita Acharya, they all are trying. We all know that even his sannyas danda was broken. They were all shattered when he said he was going to take sannyas. And Prabhupada has also said, taking sannyas is being more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Giving everybody Krishna becomes easier when there is a sannyas, and you're in a sannyasi dress. Otherwise, all the dresses, Krishna says, I distribute love to everybody. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave love to everybody, irrespective of any caste, creed, designation. But since being in a sannyas dress, it's become easier to gain people's confidence in you, people's love for you and respect for you. So now Advaita Acharya took Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within the room, and the two lords saw the arrangement of the prasad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was especially very much pleased. So it is there, whenever we offer prasadam, whenever the bhoga is offered, Krishna sees all your effort in it. Actually, we all know Krishna is very happy with our effort, our prayas. Then the mercy flows. Our effort is going to attract Krishna. Our bhakti, effort to do bhakti is going to attract Krishna. That is the blessing given by Krishna. The bhakti will come later. The effort comes first. So before doing the bhakti, even the effort we are going to put into bhakti is going to attract Krishna. We know the story. Yesterday I was in the class, the Prabhu was telling a story. He just said a line where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced a bhakta in the south of India. Just when he was talking that Krishna served Arjuna, he just said that line. So there is a story when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to south of India, he saw a brahmana, he saw a man reciting the shlokas, holding a Bhagavad Gita in his hand and reciting the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. And he was crying. There was a crowd around him, though they looked all to be very pandit kind, the puffed up people, the brahmanas. They all surrounded him and they were laughing, jeering at him. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked towards that person and he asked him, "Why are you crying and why are they laughing on you?" He said, "I am a devotee of the Lord. My guru told me to recite Bhagavad Gita every day without fail. A chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day without fail. And I am not perfect in the recitation of Bhagavad Gita. I am not a scholar. I cannot pronounce the shlokas in the perfect Sanskrit pronunciation." And then he said, "If you know this, then why are you crying?" He said, "These people are laughing at me, but I'm not crying because they're laughing at me. That doesn't bother me. I'm crying just by seeing the cover of the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna has become a servant to his devotee. And this devotee is Agrastha, Arjuna." So he says he has become a servant to his devotee. He is driving his chariot for him. And I'm in pain to see this. Then when we want to serve Krishna, Krishna serves us. When we become good devotee, when we put all our effort to please him, he starts pleasing us. And he says, "I feel a lot of pain and I cry for that. That why is he serving Arjuna? He is the Supreme Personality. But it is out of his compassion he is serving Arjuna." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, hugged him tightly, and he said, "You have understood the Bhagavad Gita in complete depth. You are the most intelligent one out of all of them." So this is a fact that when we offer bhoga to Krishna, we put all our efforts to please him. We invite Radharani to come and cook for him. We have no ability to cook. When you invite Radharani to cook for him in the kitchen, he gets pleased. He's very pleased. And you see, he accepts your bhoga. So here it says that Advaitacharya took Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within the room and he was very much pleased. In the purport it says, Prabhupada says, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased because he saw how nicely many varieties of food were prepared for Krishna. Actually, all kinds of prasada are prepared for Krishna, not for the people, but the devotees partake of prasad with great pleasure." And devotee accept the prasada. Prasada is the mercy. You know, prasad is the mercy of the Supreme Power. Actually, there's a time very less. It's 8:35 already. So it's the mercy of the Lord. Even the Gurbani, the Granth Sahib says this. Gur prasad. I won't go into the detail. There's a mool mantra. The first, because all the Vedic scriptures start with Ekumkar. It's all start with Om. The Granth Sahib starts with Ekumkar, Om again. And there's a long, there's a long explanation of the word Om in the Granth Sahib as well. So it says there that when we offer to Krishna, and in the first mool mantra in the Granth Sahib, it says there, the qualities of Krishna, it says, Ekomkar Satnam Kirta Puruk Nirpao Nirvaira Kal Murat Ajuni Sai Bangur Prasad Jap. It says, these are the qualities of the Supreme Power. He is above all the yonis. He is above the species. He is the fearless one. He is the only Kirta Puruk. He is the only one who is the man who works. He is the one, Kirta Puruk. He gives everything. So he says here that how will you get him? Next is Gur Prasad. Guru gives you him is the mercy. And when you do japa, the next word is jap. in the Mool Mantra in the Granth Sahib. The next word is Japa. Japa means chanting. When you chant nicely, Guru bestows his mercy upon you and he gives you Krishna. So that's what he says here even. Even when we offer the bhoga plate, it's we are asking for mercy. That's prasadam. That's why it becomes prasadam, when the mercy is given. Prasad means mercy. And when the mercy comes to us, a devotee also takes it with pleasure. The next is, Acheyana ye Krishna ke karya bhojana, janme janme sere daro tanahara charana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of all the methods employed in cooking and offering food to Krishna. Indeed, he was so pleased that he said, frankly, I will personally take the lotus feet of anyone who can offer Krishna such nice food and place, those lotus feet on my head, birth after birth. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of all the methods. Because that is, a standard has to be maintained. And that's what Prabhupada has done it. He's given us a standard to maintain all over the world. I travel to Canada, Australia, Thailand, almost everywhere. And all the temples, they have a standard. I tell often to my even, because I have all my Sikh family, all they wear turbans and all. So I tell them, what I learned in the Granth Sahib, I'm practicing in ISKCON. That seems to be the ideal place to practice, with all the standards maintained, all the service, the prime attitude. It's our prime duty to get service, to ask for, beg for service. So that's it. He says there, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is the standard. He was very pleased. Prabhu jane tina bhoga krishnare nevedya, achare yera mana katha nahe prabhura vedya. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the room, he saw three divisions of food, and he knew that all these were meant for Krishna. However, he did not understand the intentions of Advaita Acharya. Now we will read how they were placed, and how the prime for Krishna when we offer, how it should be in a, we say, a separate thali, a beautiful thali, everything. That standard is going to be mentioned. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that one of these servings was offered in a metal dish and was meant for Krishna, whereas the other two were placed on big banana leaves. The offering on the metal plate was personally offered by Advaita Acharya to Krishna. The other two servings on banana leaves were to be accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Lord Nityananda. That was Advaita Acharya's intention, but he did not discuss this to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the foodstuff offered in three places, he thought that all of it was meant for Krishna. Because the devotee thinks everything is meant for Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the garb of devotee is teaching us everything. How a devotee should think. That everything is meant for the pleasure of Krishna. Wherever he sees anything, that is for Krishna. That's his pleasure. He has to enjoy it. He's Rishikesha. His name is Rishikesha. He is the owner of his senses and our senses also. That's the name for Krishna. The text 67 we come to. Prabhu bale vaishatine kariye bhojana, acharya kahe ami kariba pariveshasna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, let us sit down in these three places and we shall take prasad. However, Advaita Acharya said, I shall distribute the prasada. Kaun sthane vaishiva ara ana dvipata alpakari ani tahe deha venjana bhata. He says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that all these three servings were meant for distribution. Therefore he asked for another two banana leaves, saying, let us have a very little quantity of vegetable and rice. Acharya kahe vaishadone pindira upare etabali hate dhari vaishala dunhare. Advaita Acharya said, just sit down here on these seats. Catching their hands, he sat them both down. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, here he is with the two incarnations, we know, Advaita Acharya and Nityananda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in the text 70 we come, Prabhu kahe sanyasera bhakshanahe upakarana, iha kahele kache haya indriya varana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it is not proper for a sannyasi to eat such a variety of foodstuff. If he does, how can he control his senses? Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving this for us. To control the senses is important for us. That we just cannot go on eating a lot. Being a sannyasi is telling his limitations. He says here in the purport again, Prabhupada says, the word upakarna indicates a variety of foodstuffs such as dahi, vegetables and other varieties of possible dishes. Do we read all the purports here? Of all the verses? However, for a sannyasi to eat such a palatable dishes, if he did so, he would not be able to control his senses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not encourage sannyasis to eat very palatable dishes for those whole Vaishnava cult is Vairagya Vidya. We know that. We are following Rupa Goswami. He has given us what? Yukta Vairagya. We may be placed wherever we are. We are students, we are businesswomen, businessmen. We don't need to leave our places. We just have to add on to the Krishna with us. That's the bhakti yoga, adding. You have to just connect. So this is there, yukta vairagya. You will be detached, at the same time you're amidst everything what you have, but still detached. You know, every temple, every mosque, every gurdwara has a dome on it. That's right. And have you ever noticed what that dome has, it looks like? Anybody has ever noticed that? The dome on the top of a temple, or in the, we have a shikhar on the temple, and on the shikhar, if you go, there is, again, a small thing made on top. And the mosque and the gurudwaras, they also have a big dome on them. There's a lotus flower on that. Just carefully you will notice there's a lotus flower. What does lotus flower indicate? Lotus flower blooms in where we know? In mud. Hindi we say kichar. Dirty mud. It's a, and what happens? It blooms there, it does not touch it. It's above it. Likewise, these places, they are in the material world, yet they do not touch the material world. They are much above it. Because we talk of the supreme power here. And Kali is not allowed to enter these doors. Kali cannot enter. So he says, we have been given the Yukta Vairagya. There's a lot more to say about it. We have many examples of Dhruva Maharaj also for this. Because when we become devotees, Krishna may give us everything. He will give us what we want. That's for sure. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, I'll give you everything you desire. And you deserve also. I'll give you that. But I will take the attachment to those things from you. I'll snatch that away. I'll take away that. You wanted a big car, I'll give you. You wanted a big house, I'll give you. But you will serve Krishna in that big house now. You will get detached from it. You will not want to enjoy it for yourself. Detachment means this. You don't want to enjoy it for yourselves. You want it to gift it to Krishna and his devotees. Like the place we are sitting, we know this was gifted. This was gifted to Srila Prabhupada. So because this was again a sign of Vairagya from the, you know, who gifted it, and that's it. So he says here, a devotee does not accept anything to eat that is not first offered to Krishna. All the rich foodstuffs offered to Krishna are given to the grastas, the householders. There are many nice things offered to Krishna, garlands, bedsteads, nice ornaments, nice food, and even nicely prepared pan, betel nuts. But a humble Vaishnava, thinking his body material and nasty, does not accept such preparations for himself. He thinks that by accepting such things, he will offend the lotus feet of the Lord. Those who are sahajiyas cannot understand what Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meant when he asked Advaita Acharya to bring two separate leaves and give a small quantity of prasad to him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to accept a very little. So in the next verse we go, Acharya kahe chhada tumi apanara churi, ami sabha jani to mara sanyasara bhari buri. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not accept the food that had already been served, Advaita Acharya said, please give up your concealment. I know what you are and I know the confidential meaning of your accepting the sannyas order. So Advaita Acharya, it's such a nice thing that today we are doing this, and today is Advaita Acharya's anniversary, his appearance day. And it is there that Advaita Acharya says, I know you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to exhibit as a devotee, but he is saying, I know who you are. Why are you concealing? I know you are the supreme power. And I know why you accepted the sannyasa order. Because you are putting up like a devotee and you are setting an example. Bhojana kara chada vachana chaturi prabhu kahe eta ana khate na pari. Advaita Acharya thus requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to eat and give up juggling words. The Lord replied, I certainly cannot eat so much food. He's showing his humility. The qualities, every sentence, every verse has got a deeper meaning. It's just not that two lines. It's not like we say, I am not hungry, I don't want to eat more. He's not saying this. He has a very deep meaning. He says, I cannot eat so much food. Now there is, Advaita Acharya is going to, we'll go through when he says lots of things to him. Acharya bhale akapate kara ahara yadi khate napara pate rani beka ara. Advaita Acharya then requested the Lord to simply accept the prasada without pretense. If he could not eat at all, the balance could be left on the plate. Prabhu bhale eta ana nari bekhate sanyasira dharma nahe uchishta rakhite. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will not be able to eat so much food and it is not the duty of a sannyasi to leave remnants. Now the last shloka. So translation says, in this connection, Advaita Acharya referred to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eating at Jagannath Puri. We know all about Jagannath Puri, that he's offered chappan bhoga. And then how the prasad is cooked, the fire is there since immemorial times. And in this connection, Advaita Acharya referred to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eating at Jagannath Puri. Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are identical. This has been confirmed here, which Advaita Acharya says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I know as being the Lord Jagannath, you eat 54 times and here you are saying, I just want to eat very little. And Advaita Acharya pointed out that Jagannath Puri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate 54 times and each time he ate many hundreds of pots of food. So he's saying, you eat so much there, so why are you not eating right now? It's the love of Advaita Acharya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is again exhibiting the qualities of a devotee. He's in the sannyas order and he's setting up some standards for that. So this is for everybody to follow. It's for us to follow as a devotee and seek his blessings. And as Advaita Acharya, he is the Acharya. Acharya means again, with his acharan, with his character, with the practicing the qualities, he's exhibiting again for us that what we should follow and what we should not do. And he himself invited Krishna to appear as Gauranga. So that's Radharani and Krishna together in the form of Gauranga. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Advaita Acharya. So there's no time for questions.